Happy Easter. Christ has risen. Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. In his message titled, Easter Foolishness, Reverend David Williams tells us that we need to keep up with the journey of Christ because it will challenge us, which will make us grow and make us better. We know the lies that we tell ourselves, but we are free and can change for the better because of the Easter promise. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather here on this holiest of mornings filled with Easter promise. The promise that we will commit ourselves to a resurrection life, a life always transforming deeper and deeper in grace, a life that casts aside those things that deaden us, our old hatreds, the bitternesses that weigh us down, all of those stones that keep us locked in the tomb are rolled away today. And yet as we set ourselves towards a life beyond this moment, we know that it's very easy to fall back, very easy to return to paths that don't build us up and that don't build on the foundation of grace that Jesus gives us today. So right now, let's pray together the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin, admitting before God that we struggle to respond to his justice and grace in ways that we should. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust in your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. You can follow along on page 114 of your Pew New Testament. Let us listen again for God's word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went running towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Ravunai," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Christian liturgical year, this holy season, is just kind of weird this year. It's just kind of bizarre. It's a little off because, you know, it's Easter and it's April Fool's. And it's this weird, awkward conjunction, which is made doubly awkward because Ash Wednesday was what day? It was Valentine's Day! Yay! What is more romantic than reminding the love of your life that your dust and ashes and death is inevitable? I mean, it probably works for Gomez and Morticia Adams, but the rest of us, not really so much. But it is April Fool's today, and all around America you've got pastors like myself trying to figure out just how you can work this popular semi-holiday. I mean, is this a holiday? I mean... Should we get off for April Fools? Sure, why not? How you work that, this thing, this cultural phenomenon known primarily for pranking and silliness and messing with people's head, into what is the most sacred day of the Christian year. And I mean, how are you supposed to do that? I mean, what was I supposed to, like, have me in the session trick everyone into thinking that the service today is actually at noon? So I'd be standing here going, "Ha! Oh, no, that just doesn't work. I'm bad at that. I'm bad at that prankery or foolishness." And I think a large part of that is that, I like a good silly prank. I think my favorite one was the British Broadcasting Corporation's prank that it played back in the 50s. The spaghetti tree news story. Have people seen this? It's on YouTube. Go watch it afterwards. They ran this thing about, like, the Italians harvesting spaghetti in the spaghetti harvesting season and pulling it down from trees. And of course people believed it. Where can I get fresh spaghetti? You know, it's like fresh picked spaghetti right from the tree. And that's sort of fun, but I honestly don't like it. I don't like being pranked. I don't like feeling like a fool. I don't like making people feel foolish. And maybe that's because I know that there are large parts of me that really are tremendously foolish. Not silly. My family will tell you I am a silly person. But foolish. And foolishness is not silly. Foolishness is not particularly fun, because being a fool means something. Being a fool means living in ways that create chaos in life, that stand against the way God shapes and guides us. And foolishness is different from living a life of creative entropy, that openness to the new that breaks apart stale things and stirs growth. No, being a fool just means breaking stuff. It's the energy that comes from the smashing of the structures that sustain our lives. And those patterns of behavior we call folly. And the people who do that are fools. And no, you can be a fool and really smart. Foolishness does not mean you lack intelligence. If you're a book and dice role-playing gamer or have ever done that, you know that intelligence and wisdom are very different things. Totally different roles. Totally different roles. Everybody gets that, I'm sure. That you are smart as a whip doesn't mean that you use your intelligence to make the right decisions about your life. It just means you're better at getting yourself really very much deeper into trouble. It's like if you trust a fool with a four-wheel drive in the snow, they're just in the middle of a field and you have to pull them out. It's that kind of thing. And so here on this Easter Fool's Sunday, it's important for us to be aware of those things that we do that are foolish, as the Bible's ancient story of Hebrew wisdom teaches foolishness. Because it's right there. Like, what are the things that destroy our lives? And there are things we do that destroy us, that tear us apart. Living a foolish life does not mean living an Easter life. As strange as this Easter proclamation is, living that kind of life means certain things. It means being endlessly impulsive. It means being driven by greed. It means stubbornly refusing to change. It means letting your rage control you. It means playing fast and loose with truth. These are the things that make for a fool. We who are fools are impulsive, because that's what we do as fools. We speak without considering the consequences, and it's easy to do. If you feel something right now, you're going to do it. You want to say this, so why not say it? I want this object. I desire this person. I'm just going to do that thing. And fools, being impulsive, are quickly distracted by bright and shiny objects. That does work occasionally, just chasing after everything that you think of in that moment. It works occasionally and randomly in the same way that Russian roulette works occasionally and randomly. But more often than not, impulsiveness just means we are gullible and easily manipulated, and we spend a lot of time on Twitter believing everything we see. There is impulsiveness, and then there is greed, another mark of the fool, and greed, another hallmark of our culture, that thing. Fools will hunger for wealth. If you're a fool, you can never have enough, ever. You will never be satisfied, and you will always chase after the next thing with single-minded satisfaction and become a slave to your appetite. And for that appetite, you'll sacrifice anything. Prior relationships, promises made, anything. Now, that doesn't mean you'll automatically not get that stuff. Fools can become very, very rich and very successful. But it doesn't mean they are less foolish. Impulsiveness and greed, and also stubbornness. Because a mark of a fool is that they never, ever change their minds, no matter what, and that nothing they've ever done is wrong. Not ever. Why would you change your approach to something? Because why should you? I mean, you've been hitting your head against that wall for a year, and the issue is you're just not hitting your head against the wall hard enough. If you eventually hit hard enough, the wall will disappear. I mean, either it'll fall or you'll black out one way or another, problem solved. Fools don't grow or learn. All they do is double down on what they've been doing. because they always know best. Fools are also angry. They don't have their emotional state under control, and that means that they're not in touch with anger as a valuable emotion, because that can tell us something's wrong. It can. Sometimes anger gives us energy we need to change something. But anger doesn't consider consequence. Anger simply acts. Anger just wants to go full on Hulk and smash everything, even former coworkers. You just want a Thor Ragnarok reference, sorry. Does that anger, what does it do? It destroys. It tears apart. And with all of those other features, the final feature of a fool is that they are mendacious. Mendelicious, maybe. No, that's not an SAT word. They lie. Fools lie about others. Fools lie to others. And fools lie to themselves. Because truth doesn't matter to a fool. Doesn't matter if the thing they're saying isn't real. Doesn't matter if the promise they're making to you will never happen. The question is, does a fantasy appeal to a fool's impulse right now? Then they'll say it, spinning out a complete fabrication with the ease and practice of a master seamstress. All of those features of foolishness. Impulsiveness, greed, stubbornness, rage, and mendacity, all of those things have been taught since the book of Proverbs was assembled thousands of years ago. And the measure of our human foolishness has always been the same. A fool has been a fool, has been a fool forever. And though we've been that way for millennia, it's a peculiar thing. This movement of the Spirit, this thing that Jesus taught, the truth of this Easter morning was thought by many when this little Christian movement was beginning to be foolishness incarnate. Everything we've heard this morning, everything we proclaim when we gather around Christ's Easter message of resurrection, in the Greco-Roman world, they looked at these Christians, these strange people, and they thought, what foolishness is this? Because what Jesus taught was a foolishness set against the foolishness of the world. Here, a God whose power doesn't involve getting what you want right now at this moment. Here, a savior whose teaching is all about selflessness and self-sacrifice and turning away from worldly riches and turning away from material power and saying selfless love and mercy and forgiveness shatter death itself. No wonder the ancient world looked at the Easter message and thought, I mean, yeah, we're fools already, but what is this? What is this strange thing? Because it is strange, this story on Easter that is so wildly out of sync with how humanity lives. It's so wildly out of sync with the way we live and what we expect that the disciples themselves, who Jesus had spent years saying, this is who I am, this is what's going to happen. All right, let's stop again. This is who I am, this is what's going to happen. And they have Mary Magdalene, who loved Jesus, who wept over Jesus, who went to this gravesite just because she yearned at the loss of this person she loved so deeply and who had taught her so much. And she encounters something amazing, something Jesus had been telling the disciples for years, and she runs back. And she is filled with wonder, and she's filled with delight, and she's just wild with amazement. And she tells them exactly the same thing he'd been telling them for years. And they sort of believe it. Like, They require more persuading, which is why the text goes on after chapter 20, as opposed to them just saying, yay, the thing he said was going to happen did. Fools. Jesus taught that this morning mattered. Taught that embracing the truths and the way of life that he lived out fully, this peculiar, different, bizarre, strange way of being together, could change the broken foolishness of our human path. Instead of impulsiveness, Jesus this Easter morning offers us a challenge to stay focused on a way that says, live graciously and lovingly in all things. Don't chase after that. Don't chase after that. Here is a path of grace. Follow it. Jesus taught this Easter morning that instead of greed, instead of turning ourselves towards an endless possessiveness, have a heart that is simultaneously hungering for both simplicity and is generous. You don't need much, and you can pour out. Jesus on this Easter morning said, instead of stubbornly repeating the same mistakes over and over and over, you have in the Spirit the chance to really change, to undo the brokenness of the past, and to live a new and gracious life that is one instant of choosing away. Jesus taught this Easter morning that instead of pouring rage out at everything that crosses us, at every single thing that seems like a minor irritation, I'm in traffic, in a rage, fury at all, even the tiniest detail. I can't believe you didn't put that in the right place. I can't believe you didn't say the right thing. I can't believe that your belief system is like this little tiny fraction different than mine, and that means I have to hate you. Instead of that, he said, live a life governed by the willingness to forgive wildly and radically, even those who harm us, even those who might put us in the grave that deep. The Jesus who says, forgive them, Father, from the cross, teaches something different than our rage. And Jesus on this Easter morning says, stop lying to yourselves about who you really are. Stop lying to yourself that you can't change. Stop lying to yourself that you are trapped in prisons that you can't escape from, and resigning yourself to a life without joy, without grace, and without love. Jesus says, no, that is false. You can tell yourself the truth. The strange abiding truth that comes this Easter morning, that truth that no matter what has passed, no matter what you have lived through, no matter how much brokenness you have experienced, every single moment of your life has the potential of grace and renewal. Every single moment gives you the opportunity to break out of that trap you find yourself in. And you are never beyond the reach of God's grace and love. All of us are at every moment given that opportunity to choose Easter's new birth, Easter's resurrection hope for our lives. On this strange conjunction of a day, this peculiar, foolish, joyous day, we are reminded that we don't have to dwell forever in the darkness of our tombs. That we, unlike fools, fools though we may be, are liberated to step out of our places of loss and bitterness, because in this day, the newness of God's creation rests before us. And we are joyously, wildly, wonderfully free to embrace it. It is Easter, and He is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
In the full knowledge of my own foolishness, I nonetheless keep at this path, this Jesus journey, because it is so transforming. This journey, walking with Christ, who always challenges us to grow beyond ourselves, who forces us to open our eyes to the love of the other, and who turns us away from the rather tempting foolishness of the world. Because I know that I can be impulsive. I can. I know the things I desire. I know what makes me angry. And because I listen to Jesus, I know what the lies are that I tell myself, that turn me away from His path. And on this Easter morning, that great burden of my own foolishness is the rock that is rolled away. Each of you knows what that is for you. What burden is lifted if today you say, "This no longer has power over me. I am free and resurrected and made new." That is the Easter promise, that you can step away from the things that are folly and into a place of joy and silliness occasionally, where things will grow and change and be good and gracious. Step out this door this day knowing that Easter promise, that He is risen.
He is risen
indeed.
That He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.